Blog Talk Radio.
Resting place, for you said
into your garden, come into your garden, come into your garden. So come into your garden.
Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we come before you. We thank you for this awesome privilege to be before you, to be here, to minister to your people. Let it be your words tonight to minister to the people as they need. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Welcome. Welcome to PGN, Prophetic Grace Network, where we do it more than we talk about it. Today's March 23rd, 2024. It's Saturday. I'm Carmen. I'll be your host tonight, and I'm glad to be here. I started a little late, so I do apologize for that. Because of the change in time, it threw me off. Well, I hope you had a great week. And like I said, if you didn't, we'll get you back on track. Today, last week, actually, we were talking about divine, the time, the appointments, the seasons. And the seasons are appointed times. But I don't know. I had that message in a different format. But this week, again, the Holy Spirit was talking to me about that. And I was seeing some videos and things like that about eclipses and blood moons and solar eclipses. In the Jewish culture, they know that in the first five books of the Bible, which are the Torah, they refer to the solar eclipses as signs to the nations, because the sun is bigger than the moon. And so, and the moon is a sign to Israel. And so we're having a lot of sun eclipses, blood moon and stars, things with the stars. It's not only in the U.S. We also have them in other parts of the world. Remember as a kid, hearing my grandparents talk about this little orange book, and I think it was called the Bristol Almanac or something almanac. And in that little book, farmers would buy it so that they would know when they can plant. They will follow the moon and the eclipses and everything that was, you know, studied from past experiences, you know, scientifically, what was in the weather. And they can more or less determine how the weather was going to behave, if there was going to be hurricanes, because according to the studies is that the moon tends to have a gravitational pull on the waters, on the sea, in the ocean, everything. Even on us, it tends to have this gravitational pull. And so there's all sorts of things that little book would offer those that read it. And some of it was, let's see if I remember correctly, it had something to do with fishing too, the tide, because the sun, the moon will have those gravitational pulls on the waters, and there were some times where it was best for the fishermen to fish. And so even names on certain days, according to it, there was a lot of mixed things in with that little book of saint names. Also about the stars that had to do not with so much astrology, but it has to do with, astronomy didn't have to do with the stars, with the astronomy. It had to do with more with astrology, which was the names of the stars, which were, you know, like Gemini, Virgo, and what are the other ones? Aries, Pisces, Leo, and I don't know all of them, you know, but they're connected to the stars. But people twist that and then use that to predict people's behaviors or what was best when their moon or the star was in a certain place for this person. So it was false predictions, really. So in the U.S., they have the Farmer's Almanac, and it's one of the oldest periodicals. It gave what the weather would look like in the next 12 months. Like, for instance, it would say the winter would have warmer, colder temperatures, or it could be colder in December or warmer in December. You know, they more or less would give the heads up to the farmers and fishermen. And so there were astronomical calculations done since 1808. I remember my grandfather, you know, mentioning tsunamis and different things, you know, that happened in certain years. So that little book was full of some truth and some lies. But we do know that there are going to be some eclipses. And these eclipses are of the moon, of the blood moon, of the sun, and stars. There's supposed to be some meteor that's going through another part of the world, which causes the stars to turn orange. So this little book had notes for a lot of things, for the high tides, the fall of the tides. You can even notice this when you go to the beach. You'll see that there are some times that the tides are pretty high. So, I mean, there's a lot of science that goes behind that, but not all of what's in that book, that's involved in that book, is good. So they also had Catholic festivals in that book. You know, they had Jesus' baptism was mentioned, Easter, it was mentioned in these books, the festivals, the Hebrew moon cycles, the Islamic era of 1444. It mentions the planet and their appearance, for the four seasons, the saints' days. Some people would even name their kids after the day that the almanac would say the saint's name. For instance, I had my ex-husband's aunt was born on Christmas, and they called her Nativity, according to that little almanac. Okay, so it was like an art and a science. It interpreted the positions and the movements of the stars to know a person's trait in astrology, their attributes as a person, which was not true. It's false. And, well, today, people still look at that. And today, people are realizing there are eclipses coming. So there's one for the U.S. on April 9th that's supposed to be crossing the U.S. And there's other ones, I believe, on Monday, March 25th. There's supposed to be another one near Australia, which reaches, I believe, I could be wrong with this, which reaches Africa, I think. And so these are unique events, and it does have a gravitational pull. So things do happen on the Earth due to the positioning of these celestial bodies. So we can all, today we can all witness over the internet. Everybody can see them. Great part of the planet, like I mentioned before, from Australia to Africa, can be seen online. So this eclipse will be a blood moon, the one that goes over the U.S. The atmosphere changes the colors. It looks really gray when it goes over. But, you know, the coincidence, which really isn't a coincidence, this eclipse also coincides with Purim. And the one on March 25th. And Purim begins the evening of March 23rd, I believe, or the 24th, or the evening of the 23rd and ends the evening of the 24th. Purim is a biblical festival that Jews celebrated with joy. It was over the defeat of their enemies. That's when Esther was able to defeat her enemy, Haman, which wanted to kill all the Jews. And because she was a Jew, she was at risk herself. They wanted to kill all the Jews. And because she exposed his plan, death came upon him instead. It's not a coincidence. In the past, they've noticed that there seems to always be some eclipse that coincides with the festivals. And it's not a thing for everything that has a reason. God has a reason. There's no coincidences to this. God has a reason to allow all these things. And he does talk about it in the Bible where these signs in the heavens are sent for a sign. It's for an appointed season. the name Esther means hidden. So God protects his people. He hides them. In the year of Purim, that Purim first happened, years back, it was like in 483 AC to 473 AC. It was around about the same time, about March and April. And God always has a reason for doing things. And sometimes there's repetitive cycles. There's a comet overflow, flying over the earth, and they're calling it the devil's comet. Could this mean that God is showing us something, is trying to get our attention, especially when they're blood moons? It is predicted that this comet will explode, I guess, in the galaxy, and it's going to be seen. There's going to be some explosion with light. So they say. This is what NASA says. Jesus said there would be signs in the moon, in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. This is in the Bible. You can find it in Genesis. I believe it was Genesis 1:4, where it talks about the signs. We may not understand the meaning of all this, but should observe and be attentive to the things to be watchful about, you know, not in fear. We're not supposed to be in fear. But if God says, pay attention to these signs, it's for a reason, and we need to be prayerful. We can't take these things lightly. And when others, you know, start walking in fear, you say, no, we need to pray. You know, God hid Esther and her people, and they were protected. And so as God's people, we are also protected. There's seasons of darkness, you know, in everybody's life. Sometimes it's a long season, sometimes it's a short season. But like I spoke about last week, there's different seasons that we all go through. God in the Word gave the Jews understanding of the times and that they will be living in. The last week we spoke, you know, about the seasons, which I mentioned that seasons are appointed times. It's like having an appointment with God. God appointed that time. We need to understand these appointed times and seasons if you want to understand God's will. God does this through feasts. He has the calendar of the Lord. You know, he shows us through the feasts, through the calendars. But it's not just every calendar. It's not the Gregorian calendar that we are on. The one that we are on is on a solar calendar. The Hebraic calendar is the lunar and solar. That one is the correct one that God goes by. So if you're trying to look for these feasts according to the Gregorian calendar, you're going to miss the whole thing. You're not going to understand things. You have to understand things according to the way God wants things done. The feasts were commanded by God to the Jews to celebrate so that they would not forget what he had done for them in the past. These feasts are in line with the biblical calendar, but their calendar does not line up with the Gregorian calendar. Get that. The Gregorian calendar was lined up with pagan beliefs. The Hebraic calendar was placed by God. God placed these festivals and calendars so that there would be an understanding of the seasons of the Lord, the feasts of the Lord, and the calendar of the Lord. God used the heavenly bodies to communicate the events to come. Those are signs. Signs are pointed times. So we can understand the seasons, the feasts, and the calendar. So these eclipses are here for a reason. NASA has shown 4 total lunar eclipses in the past. These are lunar and solar eclipses that have been around 8 eclipses that happened before the 2,000 years ago. And so they're happening again. So it's not a normal thing. And what's even more interesting is that these eclipses have fallen on those feast days. It's usually either on Passover and Tabernacles. the Feast of Tabernacles. And pretty soon we should be having one, I believe, on the Passover one. I think it begins in, I believe, this coming week. So years back, the eclipse happened in 1948. And we all know what happened in that year. Israel became a nation. Another one happened in 1967. And what happened? Israel captured Jerusalem. They got it back. So in 1492, Jews had to leave or they would be murdered from Spain. And so that was on the 9th of Av. And that was somewhere else. The one in 1493 and 1494, King Ferdinand and Isabel, Queen Isabel, took the Jewish wealth away from them. And they threatened them that if they didn't join the Catholic Church, that they would kill them. And those that joined, their names were changed. And so we understand that in Latin America, because a lot of our ancestry in the Latin American countries come from Spain. And it is believed that in order for the Jews to have a place to worship and escape all the attacks from Spain, there were Jews that joined Christopher Columbus' journey to the unknown world. They would be killed. A lot of them caved into the demands of Spain. And they went and changed their names, and they followed the religion because they were afraid. And so in the coming days, there's going to be some similarities to that. There's going to be things that are going to be pressed upon us, and they're going to want us to cave in and to do what they say. But not all of them caved into it. Like the Jews, they found a way to get out, and they found a place where they can live in their beliefs. And so Christopher Columbus was believed to be a Italian Jew. And there's some proof of this. Years ago, I was watching a series with a friend because we heard about it from some family member that were watching this series. It was called Cooper's Treasure. And we got into it, but it was cut short because there was a lot of stuff involved in it. This was about a man that would do treasure hunts, but he would do it in the sea, with sunken ships, in the sea all over the world. But the journey started with his father. His father was very well known, and his father would come out on late night shows. Many of you will not even understand who this person was. This is a long time ago. I was a little kid at the time when this man, Merv Griffin, would come on. And so this man's father, who was, you know, a treasure hunter, you know, of sunken ships, he would come on the show and tell him all the, you know, the good stuff of what he would find and all the treasures that they would find from these mainly Spanish ships that were sunken. You know, the pirates would run after them to try to steal these things, but and a lot of them did sink, because not only that, the seas were so rough, and so there were some areas where they couldn't you know, float their ship. So this gentleman's father had a friendship with an astronaut that had been in space, and he would share with him about all his voyages. And then the astronaut would share with him of all his voyages. And so he would tell them, the astronaut, who was Cooper, it was the name of Cooper, I can't remember his first name. He saw many things that caught his attention when he was on his voyages into space over the Earth. You know, just, you know, traveling around the Earth, doing whatever they did in space. And so he was able to see, coordinate with the coordinates that this other gentleman would tell him where these sunken ships were, and he would turn off the radio so to make them think that they had lost communication with him, and what he was doing was gathering information, and he started creating maps with the coordinates that he was seeing from Earth, you know, up in the sky, watching what was all over the Earth from a different angle. And so the treasure hunter's father relayed what he had learned to this astronaut, and the astronaut captured the findings that he saw on his mission over the Earth. The astronaut created maps in secret. Nobody knew about them, and he kept them in his garage. And even after he retired, nobody knew about it except for this treasure hunter. And so this young man, as a little boy, he befriended this astronaut too. So his father started getting greedy and this and that, and so he started getting involved with the treasure hunt for the sunken ship. And but as he got older, he gave one of the maps to the treasure hunter's father, this astronaut. And so he knew about it, and then he got a hold of the map as he was a man. Later on, he talked to his father to see, you know, so that they can get together. I mean, there was a lot of greed, people wanting to hurt them in order to get all the information that they knew about where all these ships were. It was getting very dangerous. He began finding these coordinates to the exact location of these sunken ships with these treasures. It was a scary time for them. The treasure hunter even went as far as to go to the Canary Islands in Spain, because that's where the port where Christopher Columbus would get out from his journeys. He would leave. That was the place where he would leave. And there he found a museum where all of Christopher Columbus' journals were found of all the trips he had made. In one of the writings of this one particular journey, Christopher Columbus, who was thought also to be an Italian Jew, mentioned the blood moons and the events that would take place on this journey around the world. Why would he write about the blood moons? Not everybody knew about the blood moons, but he knew about it. Why? Jews knew about blood moons. Only Jews paid attention to these things. Christopher Columbus also had Jewish crew on his voyage. And that's not a coincidence. I don't think so. For them to have that many things, you know, happening on the blood moons, and for them to be Jewish and all that, it had also to be researched that around a blood moon, there it was found that the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, there was a solar lunar eclipse on the biblical holiday. Is that a coincidence? I don't think so. When Jesus died in 33 AD, there was also a solar lunar eclipse. That was around Passover. Coincidence? I don't think so. We have had the most lunar solar eclipses than we ever have had. Like I said about the almanacs, the moon has gravitational pull on the waters. I believe that some things are going to be done man-made, but some things are going to be in the weather that are just part of what God has allowed, and he's wanting us to look up for the signs. What has happened on these lunar solar eclipses, changes in weather, earthquakes, you name it, it's a lot of weird stuff. So Genesis 1:14 says, look what Genesis says. It says, and let me start from 13. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Signs, they're signals for us to realize there's a season, And so the seasons, every season, there are feasts. And God told the Jews to celebrate these things so that they wouldn't forget all the things that he had done for them. The feast means that they go eating. In other words, you know, I remember Prophet Randy talking about, you know, that God prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. What do? You eat at a table, right? There's food. And so I believe that these are signs that are foretelling of things that are going to come, appointed things that God has in play. And we should not fear knowing that God has this in play. And so to understand that even though we're going to be seeing all this, what does that mean? We're going to have a feast. God is going to give us what we need. We're not going to lack anything. And so, yes, let me read Psalm 23. I just felt that right now. Maybe I need to get a hold of that scripture. Psalm 23. Let's see. All right. Let's see. Sorry, but it's a little. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So are you going to lack anything? No, you're not going to want for anything. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Of righteousness. He's the one that's going to give us the righteousness. It's in not in our own right standing. Yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? Walk through. That doesn't mean you stay there. You walk through it. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Truly goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So as we see here, he'll protect us. He anoints our head with oil. A shepherd will put oil on his sheep so that the bugs, the flies, won't be bothering them and causing sores on their skin. And they're free. When they have oil, the flies won't be on them. And so God, those flies are symbols of demons, you know, the attacks of fear and all this stuff. When you are in God's presence, those things will flee. Your cup will run over. You are not going to lack anything. God's going to provide for you, but you have to spend time with him. You have to seek his face. You can't just be running to everybody, because dark days will come, and what if there's nobody there and everybody's dealing with different things? But that's never the case. God always has us together. And so I'm sure that he's going to be there, but we have to spend time with him. And he'll prepare that table. This time of these festive times, that's what happened in Purim. Esther, God told them that they were to follow those feast days to remember what God had done for them. And they celebrated, and they gave gifts to one another, and they ate food. Why? Because their enemy was defeated. And so doesn't this sound the same? Psalm 23, having a table in the presence of our enemy. So while they were feasting, the enemy was getting hanged. Haman was hung. And so God will hang our enemies too. Whatever that dark season may be, that valley of the shadow of death, that we're just going to walk through, and we're going to walk through with the Lord, not fearing. That the shadow of death is a shadow. It doesn't mean it is death. It could be financial. It could be, you may be lonely. It could be a sickness. Some people are dealing with sickness, like on my family. I have family members that are going through sickness. But if they don't follow the Lord, they're going to go through this valley. But if they follow God, God will get them through it. Amen? And so no matter what we face, God is there. But you have to do your part too. So the sun and the moon are set in seasons. Seasons are appointed times. So every time the Jews celebrated these feasts, they were waiting for their appointed time. It was like a practice, like they were practicing for the real deal, for the real time. And so God, you know, that when you are supposed to do something and you have an appointment, you have that certain time, right? But for the Jews, God was teaching them so that they wouldn't miss their appointed time. And so, like the virgins that Prophet Randy was talking about on Thursday, some made it and some didn't because they missed their time. They missed their time. And we can't miss our time. We got to understand what God is trying to tell us through the sun and the moon. And it's not that you get religious with all this stuff. It's so that you have an understanding and understand that God loves you. And God is there. And he's already said some things beforehand so that you understand, okay, God has things. God, everything is in his hands. And it's not a coincidence that all these things are happening now. And so, let's see. Okay, so these eclipses is for us to realize we have a divine appointment. But what happens with these appointments if you're not on the same calendar? The doctor, your doctor visit, then you'll miss your appointment, and it's not going to be good because you need to see the doctor, right? So the Gregorian calendar is wrong. This is the wrong calendar to be on. You'll miss your divine appointment if you follow that calendar. If you're going to the doctor's office and you go by the wrong calendar, you're gonna miss the day. Okay? So let me explain something that happened to me last week. I was listening to Prophet Randy about frequencies, and I sent him a video of this young minister who years back, he had health issues, and he was living the rebellious life. And then he started learning about frequencies. And he says that that even the frequencies, we found that David played, I think it was on frequency 444 or 440, and how his mother, who was sick, got healed. He had been battling years with some health issues, but he turned around and he fell in love with Jesus, and he just went out as a worshiper trying to teach other people about these frequencies, and he learned so much. And at first he was very rebellious, but then he changed when he tuned into God's life. Into God, his life changed as he began to research more and more. I started looking to see what other things he had, and I came across that a year ago, he passed away. And that grieved me so much. I was like, oh, my God, what? You know, he was so in love with the Lord. He just talked about, and he was going to Israel and playing over there, and it was just, you know, a big change for him. I was, Lord, why, when he was, you know, doing good things, big things for you, and he was on fire for you? Well, weeks before that, Prophet Randy mentioned another minister he used to listen to early in his life, and it so happened that minister had passed away. But this minister passed away because he got into some doctrinal, strange doctrinal teachings. All sorts of things. He got sick. He got divorced. It was a mess. But he was at one time on fire for God. And so he passed away. And then another minister that I came across that had passed away in his high season in his ministry, he repented and he spoke about this. He repented towards the end of his ministry that he was going against some teaching on eschatology that had to do with Israel and, you know, things lining up with Israel. And so he was adamantly against all that and teaching about that. Well, he repented, but the damage was already done. He did get on fire for God at the end, but it was a little bit too late for him. And he died. He did much good at the end, but it was a little too late. More damage was done. But many of his prophecies were off because of how he was believing. Each of these people, these men, repented. Some didn't believe and came to believe. There was a person that went against the biblical teachings, and then he got right. And then there was another one that was totally off, started right, but ended wrong. And they all died. And I didn't know why it grieved me so much more for the one that turned his life around but lived a shorter life. When Prophet Randy on Thursday, he gave a message for all of us. And he said, God protects us when there is trouble. The virgins, the five made it and five were late. He sang this song. It said, I don't want to be late, but I sure don't want to be early. Talking about heaven. So, yeah, we want to go to heaven, but we don't want to go early like some of these people did. And he explained that for some, it may not be early, but they were on time. Like this young man that, although he was sick and he got on fire for God, he died early, but he gave it all. You know, he was talking about Jesus and he was in love with Jesus and everything. And I believe that he made it to heaven on time. But yet the other two, the other one did make it, but he started wrong, but he ended right. And there's somebody else like that in the Bible. It talks about Paul. Paul started wrong, and he ended right. He repented. He got it right. And so this young man that started wrong and ended right, I believe he's in heaven. But then yet there's the other one that had doctrinal issues and was teaching the wrong thing. I mean, it went from bad to worse to really bad. And so God doesn't want us to be late. We don't want to miss these appointments with God. What would be early? Getting too early would be like those men, you know, that may have died. But I don't believe that two of them were early. Maybe one went early, but he didn't make it to heaven. And so we have to understand that there are examples in the Bible that God, like Paul, was wrong at the beginning, but he finished the race correctly. John began and finished correctly. Saul of Tarsus, he began right, but he missed his appointed time. He did things his way. When things got rough, he decided to do things his way, not God's way. And the kingdom of God, the kingdom was taken from him. He messed his appointment with God. And he made it even worse after that. He didn't even repent correctly. He got into witchcraft with a witch. He missed his appointment. And he lost his life, he lost his kingdom, he lost his life. When these appointed times are hard to live, don't be like Saul. Don't do things your way. Seek God in everything you do. Put him first in everything you do. especially when the times are dark, when you're going through the shadow of the valley of death. And that doesn't mean that you're staying there. You're just going through. You're going through. You're going to make it to the other side, and it's not what it seems. And so there's shadows making it. What happens when you're going through shadows? You're not seeing things the right way. It's rough. It's dark. So we need to have God to be our eyes, to show us how to get through. Wait for God's timing. Don't do like Saul, that he got impatient waiting on God, and he went and did his own thing. He knows what he's doing. God knows best. Don't let fear creep in. Okay? And I pray that as, you know, we encourage you that you spend time with God, not one day, but every day. Talk to him, you know, allow him to guide you so that you can have constant victory. Be real careful because the enemy is wanting to make a slip up. But God is with us. If you let God be your shepherd, you're not going to lack in anything. He's going to show you where to go. He's going to give you the water. He's going to give you the food. And these feast days are to remember what he had done before. So, I believe it's on Monday. There's one of them, I think, in Australia. The cliff that's coming towards the U.S. is in April, I think the 9th or the 8th. I can't remember. But remember, these are signs. These are signs, appointed times. Remember that. Don't get in fear about that. Just know that your Father is giving you little clues here and little clues there of what he's doing so that you know he's got it. He's got it. He knows what he's doing. All right. Well, I'm going to take some callers now. Give me one moment. Okay. All right, my first caller is 334-403, your name and where you're from.
Hi, this is Sister Sonya.
Oh, hello, hello, hello. God bless you. All right, give me one second here.
All right.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Sorry for the noise. Let me put you on mute and then I'll get back to you. Thank you, Lord, for Sister Sonya. Lord, I praise you. I give you glory. I give you thanks. Thank you, Jesus. You know, sometimes I'm seeing a picture, and I believe it's you, but I see you like holding onto a cane. And I believe that cane is God giving you support. But sometimes, you know, as we get older, and I know about this because I deal with a lot of elderly people, my family members, and I work with elderly people, and I notice that the things that can give them support, they don't want them. And so sometimes we do things in our own strength. And that's like saying, no, God, I'm not taking your support. This, you know, leaning on this, I'm not going to lean on you. But I see you with a cane, and that cane is the Lord. He's the one that's leading you and guiding you. You're going to be able to put your weight on God, because God will be there for you. You're not going to be like other people are. You are not going to be prideful. You're going to seek him. You're going to do what he says. You know, it's almost sort of like a like a Moses cane or stick. You know, Moses, God gave Moses that stick. He was giving him authority. So for you, that support that you have is that authority in God, in his righteousness. You know, wisdom isn't knowing about the Bible. Wisdom is having experiences and knowing how to do things because God has shown us how to do it. And you, therefore, you have wisdom when you know what God has told you and you've already put it into practice. That is a true wise person. And so I sense that you have wisdom, the wisdom that comes from God. It's almost like as our bodies fade away and become older, we become wiser in the things of the Lord. But it's not just an automatic thing. It's through righteousness. And so I sense that in you, sister, and I pray that the Lord even strengthens you even more in these last days, because we're going to need wise people to take that, the wisdom from the Lord. And so thank you, Lord, for my sister, Father God. Thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, for the work that you're doing in her life. You are her strength. You are the one that supports her. You are everything to her, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
And I praise
God. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead.
Sister Carmen, if I didn't know no better, I would think you would have been on our service Saturday night where he preached on the eclipse. She's saying this. I said, people don't realize. And were you in Alabama? Were you in Buzzard, Alabama Saturday night? Last Saturday.
No, I'm nowhere near there.
I mean, you were teaching the same exact Saturday night. Anyway,
wow.
You ready for your prayer?
Say that again.
You need me to go ahead and pray for you? You know,
oh, we always need prayer. Yes, ma'am, we always need prayer. And please pray for all the ministers on PGN. We all need prayer, especially, you know, to minister to others. We need it just as much as you guys need it. You know, without God, we can't do anything.
That's right. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, I'm touching and agreeing with Carmen, Prophetess Carmen. I ask you to touch Prophet Randy. Lord, let him continue doing what he's doing, even with the vision, with the red heifer, and going over there to Israel. He is cut out for that. Lord, we thank you right now. I don't know if you spoke this to her tonight, Lord, or she's been studying it for a while. But I thank you right now for our prophetess Carmen. And, Lord, I thank you for promoting her. Even though she's already a prophetess, you're going to take her higher to the next. Every round goes higher and higher. We pray for Prophetess LaShawn. We're asking you to give each one of them greater anointings, Lord. Let the people accept and search out what she's telling. All three of them are telling them. Because, Lord, we living in the last days. And by the way, that's April 8th. According to the apostle, Saturday night. And Lord, we thank you right now. We ask you to bless my brothers and sisters that are going forth in your name to tell the truth. Lord, we thank you right now for giving them the desires We thank you because your blood covers over them, and no weapon that is formed against them that cannot prosper, Lord. According to your word, Lord, even when they have aches and pains in their body, you said you spoke the word that they may be healed, Lord. And Lord, your sons and daughters are out there doing what you told them to do. So, Lord, great is their reward. But bless them with the natural rewards. Even the man of God said, when this eclipse, he said the saints are going to get back what people have cheated us out of all through the years, many years ago, where they cheated us out of houses, lands, cars. He said it's all coming back. Money is coming to us because we are God's children. We thank God. Lord, you lead us and guide us in all truth. We thank you for spreading that table, Lord, that we may feast in you, Lord, because you're the one that gives us the desire of our heart. Lord, as people listen tonight, Lord, anoint their ears that they may hear what you're telling them. Prepare them if they're not ready. Lord, let them know that there's so much in these eclipses. In the one in 2017 and this one that's coming up, my God, if people only knew. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, anybody we know that's playing church, Lord, give them a heart of flesh and take out that stony heart. Save your people, Lord, everywhere. In the name of Jesus, strengthen them as they go forth boldly with your word, Lord. People need to hear what they got to say. Lord, open up doors. Let money come to them. Let their blessings come. Let their overdue rewards come, Lord. It's time now that all your people receive in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Wow. Yes, ma'am. Wow. You're a prayer warrior. Oh, I love the prayers that you, and I, it's amazing. Do you notice your voice every week? It's clearer and clearer every week.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Give God all the glory and the praise and the honor.
Yes,
and you know what?
Yes.
Sister, a prophetess Carmen, let me tell you, the man of God, the same man of God, he says, now, between my knee and my hip, when I was in the hospital after having a stroke, I fell out of the bed, and I fell on my arm behind my back. And when, anyway, I got my nose, I went to the doctor because something's wrong. Something's got to be broken there. You know, maybe my ankle or, and the nerves went up. But the doctor said it was a damaged nerve. And let me tell you, he said those that had pain, he said, I don't want any other people right now, let me pray for those in pain. And I told him, I said, from my knee up to my hip, I can't take the pain in there. He didn't even touch me. He told somebody, lay a hand on them. As I speak the word, she's going to be healed. He spoke that word, and I'm telling you, God be the glory. God did it instantly. And I thank God. And it even touched some of the, well, it touched my whole body. And my voice, my voice is coming back.
Yes, it is.
If you'd have first heard me when I first heard stroke, you wouldn't have been able to understand the word I said. I was like, but
I can understand. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Oh, I'm so happy for you. I'm really glad. That is a testimony in itself. People, listen, you know, when you're talking and believing God, look what he can do for you. And I've heard testimonies of people that they're doing what God's telling them to do, and they're getting their healing even as they're doing what God told them to do. Like this one teacher, he was so hoarse. He had lost his voice. And they couldn't do anything for him, but he was believing God that God was going to restore him. And as he was whispering, giving the Bible study, they're recording him, and his voice came out. And he just kept talking, and his voice got clearer and clearer, all in the presence of the whole classroom. So, yeah.
Wow.
God is good.
I believe that.
Yeah.
And he's doing great. Mighty miracles every day, and it's for the righteous. It is for the righteous. And it's that worldwide revival coming up, because it ain't going to be like Azusa. It's going to be a greater anointing than that. It's gonna, the whole earth is going to catch on fire for God. You know, people here and there, they gonna catch on fire, and people gonna see our light, and even some of the sinners are gonna say, "Why, I must have been a fool. Let me get it right with God." And I'm telling you,
we gotta pray for our family.
We do.
For those that, those that are not listening, you know, I have a lot of elderly. I have an elderly uncle and a cousin that. They're up in age, and I'm praying for them. I ask of the Lord right now, you know, touch their lives, Lord, because I just don't know. There's just so many things around me that I'm seeing, and I trust, I believe that God can do it. We got to continue praying for our youth, the youth especially. They have it so rough, but God, there's nothing impossible with God.
Trying to take the youth. He used to aim only at the, well, all of us really, the elderly, target the elderly. And now he's targeted the youth, and he's trying to take them out of here before they can be that prophet or apostle or evangelist that God is calling for. But you know what?
But if we don't pray,
prevail.
Things can change when we pray, right?
Yes. Amen. Without prayer, what could we do?
Amen.
We can do
Amen.
Nothing without God. Amen.
Amen.
You
Amen.
Stirred up. Thank you for praying for me. You know what? Let me say
this.
Ma'am. I'm not trying to hold up the line. But
no, it's okay.
A couple weeks ago, somebody prophesied. Was that you that said I was going to take or start writing my dreams down? Because I used to dream, and then now they're coming back.
Yes.
And I've been writing them down, and I'm going, wow. And God
you really
gave me understanding of that.
Oh, see, that was the Lord. I knew that. The Lord was showing me that about you. Wow.
That pen. Yeah. Amen.
Yes.
thank you.
Wow.
For this comment. I appreciate you so much.
You're welcome. God bless you, and you have a wonderful week. Keep on praying, prayer warrior.
All right, I will.
All right. God bless. Bye bye. All right. 251-229. Your name and where you're from.
Hi. Hi, Prophetess Gorman. This is Sarah.
Sarah from Alabama. All right. Give me a minute. Thank you, Lord. Ida bosho kore di kiri di andara do koe ra basan dala bakare vishin dala makai. Ida bosho tondoro do kiri di andara makara bosho toro do kiri di andara basan dala dakai. Ida bosho toro do kiri di andara makara. I see you standing in the need of prayer, but you're praying for other people. You're standing for other people. And the Lord knows that, and he sees that you're standing in the need of prayer for others. But as you're standing in the need of prayer for others, God will he's also hearing your unconfessed prayers, your word, your prayers that you need, you're not even saying them, but God hears them. And as you're doing that for others, God is doing that for you. Press through. That even in the midst of pain, God is there. God is there. He's the miracle worker. And so, Lord, we just pray for Sarah right now. We pray from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, Father God. All those areas that she's feeling pain, sometimes even pain where she tries to ignore it, Lord. I just pray that you just touch her right now and bring healing to her body, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Heal, bring healing. Heal her back. Heal her spine, Father God. Heal her legs, Lord. Line up that back, that neck, that C curve. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, because her walk is going to be better. Her walk is going to be straighter in Jesus' name, not only physically but spiritually in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in her life. I see you walking right, you know, properly, not just moving your feet, but just walking correctly. And that's also taking place spiritually. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for Sarah. Let it be so in Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hello, Sarah. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
Good, good, good. Blessed. How's everything going?
Well, everything's going good. And with the Lord, I had you to say and prophesy. It was just right on time. Pretty much all of it.
Really?
And, yes, all of it. I've been praying for others, and like in my family, and a little bit outside my family as well.
Mm.
And so, And let's see what else. And my body, you know, praying for healing in that arena, in that area. And
I took a step of faith there, but that's what I was seeing. So I was like, what if she's not having any pain?
Oh, it's there.
It has been there. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. What kind of pain do you have?
Well, basically, I had a knee replacement, a whole knee replacement, I guess that's what you want to call it. And I've been walking straight and walking good, but sometimes I overdo it. And the procedure took place February the 7th, and I've been doing physical therapy, but sometimes I overdo it.
sense of walking a lot?
Say it one more time.
In the sense that you're walking too much?
Yeah, it may be that, or it may be that I'm overdoing it with just physical things, like around the house, because I have stairs, and I go up and down the 13 steps.
Ooh.
I'm up and down all the time, yeah.
Ooh. Oh, wow. Yeah. It does. Yeah, you have to continue following what they're telling you to do with physical therapy. It does help. It loosens your muscles to walk correctly, because if not, they get tighter in other areas, and that is a problem. Then you don't walk correctly, and that throws you off. Always swing your hands. You know, when you have your left foot in front, you have the right foot, right hand up front, you know, like swinging. You know, you do the opposite. That helps. Watch people how they walk normally, and you're going to see that that's the way. If you find yourself not walking that way, get yourself walking. It lines you up. It lines you up. That's what I was seeing, like, you know, even your neck. I was seeing your neck, that because of the pain, you were guarding it, and it was just affecting everything in your spine. So that's lining up in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for lining her up in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for that physical alignment. Just like God gives a mechanic gives an alignment, God's giving you an alignment. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. But do take care of yourself. You know, sometimes, you know, the turtle is the one that got things done and got to the end. Amen. It wasn't a little bunny. So, I don't know. It's with you. Every time I talk to you, the Lord always has that analogy for you. You want to get a lot accomplished, but sometimes you get more accomplished by doing it slow and steady.
Yeah, because I was telling the physical therapist, I'm like, I'm ready to, you know, get back out there, and I'm ready to do this. And she said, just take it slow. Yeah. And she just told me that. And then I thought about you saying take it slow and easy and not, you know, just rush to it, you know.
Yeah. Little by little. I'm learning to do that myself so that I don't, because of how I've ministered to other people, I go, I better listen myself. I better pay attention to my body and be good to my body. I don't want to end up hurting my body with all the things that I have to do. So I go slow and steady, and I get a lot done. And you know what? The Holy Spirit showed me through a neighbor. The neighbor goes, you know, you go slow, But you're in your slowness and your steadiness, you've done a lot. I started to laugh inside because I was like, oh, my God, that was the Holy Spirit that was using this man to help me to understand that I was getting things accomplished in a different way. And so I would ask the Lord to help me, Lord, because this is a lot for me to do. And that was encouraging. Just to hear him say that, I was like, okay, I'm on the right track. It's okay. This was an unbeliever, so I knew it was God. Well, I'm glad that you're doing really good. Go ahead.
Yeah, I tell you that everything the Lord gave you to speak as his spiritual mouthpiece, it was like, I was like, oh, my goodness. I was feeling that pain, but I don't really say anything. I just walk in it. And I try not to take too many, you know, the doctor gives you this, that, and the other for pain.
Mm-hmm.
I try not to take it too much. I try to deal with it and handle it.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Wow. So, wow. Well, God is with you. He's helping you. Just allow your body to heal, because we don't see what, with our naked eyes, what's going on underneath. And so we got to give it time. I know of a cousin that she had surgery on her back, and because she felt good, she went ahead and started doing things, and she actually ruined the surgery that she had. And now she's in more pain than ever. And
oh,
so,
my goodness.
Yeah, they're wanting to give her another surgery that may or may not work, you know, because she also has to learn to stay still and allow herself to heal. There's a time to heal. And she didn't do that. So she may not be able to get another surgery because the doctors don't want to touch her, from what she says. And so, I mean, I know sometimes pain can cause depression, you know, and she has been depressed. And we have to be careful opening our mouths from saying things over and over, because it goes from your mouth, you know, it goes into your heart. We have to guard our mouth. Because it may not happen the first time or the second time, but you say something over and over again, then you're going to start seeing the manifestation of what you're speaking. And so now she's bedridden. I don't even know. Yeah, I've gone over there and given her massages, and, you know, it is rough for her. And even gotten her socks, you know, the compression socks, to help her to at least get up. Because if you stay immobile and you don't move, you tend to lose that movement and it gets worse. And so there's so much we can do and tell her, but, you know, all I can do is pray for her because, you know, she keeps opening her mouth to say the wrong thing. So, I mean, it's not easy. It's a lot of pain, but shortly after she started opening her mouth to say that, bam, at bedridden. She was moving around just fine, but she gave into that, and now she's worse. So we're all praying for her. So
yeah.
So don't give in to that. That's a season that we go through, you know, whatever. Everybody has a different season. And so we pray, and God will get us through. Those dark seasons, God will get us through. Amen.
Yes,
and we believe for our healing. Yes. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you for Sarah, Father God. I thank you, Father God, because she understands that the words of her mouth are important. And, Lord, I just thank you for the healing process, that she doesn't get antsy and start doing things that she shouldn't be doing to hurt herself. Help her, Father God, to stay at peace, and allow the healing process. Thank you for that healing process in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for speedy recovery in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And, Lord, I also pray for her daughter, Lord. I pray that you guide her, Lord, in her relationships at school, with her personal life, Lord. Help her with school. Help her to draw close to you, most of all. That as she seeks you first, these other things will be added in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
No, I just want to pray for you. And Father God, I thank you for Prophetess Carmen. I thank you for you using her to pray for others and to prophesy to others, Father God, and for using the whole PGN family. Thank you, Father God, for everything that you do and everything that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And I want to apologize for getting on a little late. It threw me off with the time. It had changed, and it just threw me off. So let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Prophet Randy, PGN, and all those involved in PGN, Father God. We pray, Father God, that you strengthen each family, that you bless them financially, physically, emotionally. Lord, protect them from the things that are coming at us in these days, Lord, and help them not to fall into any fear, Father God, with the things that people are out there talking about, not really understanding what God is saying about this whole matter. And so we thank you, Lord, because what's happened to others don't necessarily mean it will happen to us. You protected the Jews in the time of Esther's reign as queen. And Father God, you will have things for us, protection for us also. So we thank you, Father God. We thank you for the joys, the happiness, the good times that you give us in the midst of all these other things, because you place us in green pastures, watching over us, being with us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for the armor of God that you provide for us, that we keep on in Jesus' name. And, Lord, I just lift up everyone on PGN. I just want to say that I was studying about sleep, and sometimes people will have problem sleeping because they get anxious. It could be hormonal, it could be anxiety of things that they're worrying about. But when we pray and we leave it in God's hands, we need to realize we don't need to fear, that God is there, that we gave it to God. We have to see ourselves physically giving it to God. Here, God, I'm giving you this. And so when we go to sleep, we rest in him, knowing that he's got everything in his hands. He's protecting everything, and everything that we can and cannot do. Even the things that we can do, that's not the point. The point is that we follow what he says when he says, and it's so much easier that way. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you give everyone on this line sweet sleep. Protect them in their time of rest. In Jesus' name, and Lord, speak to them in deeper ways like you've never done it before, giving them signals, signs, things that you want them to understand so that they understand how to better pray, how to better lead their lives. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. We praise your holy name. And anything else, Sarah?
That's about it, and I thank the Lord for you and the PGN family.
All right. All right, girl. Well, God bless you. You have a wonderful week. Okay. Give me one second here. Let's see. Hold on.
Shine upon you and be gracious to you.
Okay, let me pray. Let me say a little prayer here. This is for our PGN family. Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you tonight and I lift up our PGN family, beginning from Prophet Randy all the way to the littlest one in our family, who are so precious to you, they're precious to me, and I ask that you bless them and surround them with your loving arms. As they navigate through life in the ups and downs, I pray that you be with them. Bless and give them the peace that surpasses all understanding and the comfort of knowing that they are never alone, that you're always with them, that you never leave them or forsake them. I pray that you provide them with strength to overcome any obstacle, all the obstacles that they may face, and the wisdom to make good decisions, seeking you first. Help them to trust in your plan for their lives and to have faith in your goodness and grace. I ask that you bless PGM friends and family with joy, love, happiness. May they feel your presence in every aspect of their lives and be a light for others to follow. I pray that they find fulfillment in the things they do and the relationships they build, and that they always know their worth in your eyes, that they are really loved. They're greatly loved. Thank you for the gift of our friends, Lord, for their love that we share. I trust that you will continue to work in their lives and in mine, and that we will grow closer to you as a result of it. Thank you, Jesus. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. All right, I'm going to take a look and see if we have any other callers. All right, give me a minute here. Wotla basho talaba kari di andara vokori di atara vikishi tandala makai. All right, 903-946, your name and where you're from.
Hi, my name is Janice, and I'm from outside of Tulsa.
Janice?
Mm-hmm.
From where?
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, okay. I'll put you on mute, and I'll come back to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Janice from Oklahoma, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for Janice. Give me 1 minute. I got to check something. I want to see something. Be right here. Thank you, Lord, for the grace of God over Janet, Lord. You know, Janice, I sense that the Lord uses you in a real strong way. It's like there's no frills. You say what God says. There is no covering things up. It is what it is, and you are obedient to say what God wants you to say. To the point where sometimes people take offense of it, but you're clear about what you know that God says. And so sometimes people don't take that lightly. You know, they don't care. Not that they don't take things lightly. They don't really care what you're saying. Yet they like you, but they want to live the way that they want to live. And the power of all of this is in God. In order to many times be heard, sometimes it's best to enter into intercession for people. And then when you go and it's time for you to open your mouth to say something, there is a power that comes out in those words that the Holy Spirit takes those words and then brings conviction when you're, once you've said what you've had to say and you're not in their presence anymore, the Holy Spirit then takes over and starts dealing with their heart in a special way. But sometimes, you know, we need to pray. We need to pray and allow God to work in us in a special way, and that as we're praying for them, then he releases us to go and speak. There's power when that happens. And so you've tried it your way, and you're going to try it now, God's way. I just see that happening, that God is beginning to show you to be effective in prayer and in service. And so we thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in her life. Thank you, Lord, for her obedience. Thank you, Lord, because you're touching her heart in a special way where she's done things her way and she knows it doesn't work. But as she hears your voice and spends time with you, you're changing her. It's happening on the inside of her, changing her, and then the things around her will change. So we thank you, Lord. You know, Dennis, it's almost like I see a plant, you know, like a seed. And the life force is in that seed. And so as that seed is watered, it starts growing. And then before you know it, you see a little tiny leaf, a little bitty, bitty, tiny leaf. And then it starts growing and getting bigger and bigger. And before you know it, it's turned into a plant, a pretty plant. Then it's turned into a tree. And then it bears fruit. And so that's how I see God working inside of you, like that little tiny seed as you seek him. That's what I'm seeing, you know, that's working inside of you and that you're going to begin to see a difference from how you used to do things, from how God is doing things. And we thank you, Lord, for that, because it takes a humble person to do that. The prideful don't care. They'll continue doing what they want. But a person that's humble and loves God, they listen and they do what God says. And so I see you doing that. I see you doing that, and I see little spurts of little plants popping. That's why I see these little heads of green popping here and there. And before you know it, it's going to happen fast. It's going to multiply. So I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Janice's life. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, let's see. Where am I trying to get back to where I was at? Oh, there we go. All right. Is this Janice? 903-946? All right. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for that. Thank you.
All right. And how was your week?
It's been really good. I helped my son move into a new house today.
Nice.
Busy. Yeah.
Yes. Pray over that house. Is he a believer?
Yes. And we
Amen.
Talked about the several times today about the prayer that needed to be said and different things we'd come, you know, up on as we were moving things in. And yeah, it was clear that prayer would be done and would be. And I said, I'm praying right now. And
you know. Yeah, anointed with oil and praying.
Yeah.
Yes, that is a good thing, you know, and command the things that were there before and command them to go in the name of Jesus. And as the Lord leads, there, you know, you can prepare a nice prayer and take authority with that in the name of Jesus. Yes, it's always a good idea when you move into a new place, whether it's an apartment, whether it's a hotel, whether it's a new home, to always pray for the area that you're going to be sleeping and living in. So,
exactly.
Yeah. Is there, that's good. Oh, I'm so glad for him. Is it a big house, little house, first house?
It's a modest house, but they've had some struggles. It was funny that you said hotel. They had to stay in the hotel for a while because, you know, the market is so tight right now, getting into a place, and it's expensive also. And
well, that's a blessing that he got a home.
Yes, they're stepping out on faith because of the expense, but I just, you know, I'm just telling them, you know, the Lord will open doors, you know, just keep doing what you're doing. Keep walking. And
yeah,
so
that's good.
Yeah.
Well, he's got a praying mama, so that is that's the best thing.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, I'm glad. That's beautiful. Oh, he must be feeling so excited. I remember when we first got our little, you know, our first place. I felt so good to call our own place home. It's nothing like it.
They were very excited.
I bet. Have you been there already?
I was there today, yes, and we got the rest of their items. And when I left, they were so tired. We had worked all day, but yet they hadn't settled in for the night. Night was coming, so I'm excited to hear. You know, they're virtually camping right now. They've got just so much to do.
Oh, but it's probably a good tiredness. It's nothing like it. It feels good.
Yeah.
We're in our home. Yay.
Yes.
And
they have
that's wonderful.
They have a 16-month-old baby, and for the first time he was on a little porch, and he was so happy. He was in the sun playing with his toys, and it was just like,
oh,
yes, this is right. This is the correct place to be. So, very nice.
That sounds wonderful. Are they close to you?
Yes. Well, they're about 30 miles from here, but it's nice. Yeah.
That's nice. I bet you those 30 miles ain't nothing.
No.
You make it there, guys. Need a babysitter? I'll be right there. Oh,
you
got so much fun.
I enjoy it. I do. I enjoy it.
Women are so different from men. Men are something different. I have a friend, and he was telling me about his new grandbaby. How his wife was so excited about it. And I'm like over here being excited for him. And he's like, yeah, whatever. I was like, why did he slap him over the head? I'm like, no, you don't understand. Having a grandkid is a blessing. It's a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, men take it different. Not all men. I got to say not all men. But, you know,
mm-hmm.
I have that kind of friend. I just wanted to, like, and his wife is so excited about it. It's so wonderful having new babies in the family. It is a blessing. That's a blessing from the Lord.
Seeing at that age, they change so much month to month. You know, it's I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, and when they start talking, you got to be real careful what you say around them.
Yeah.
I wish I had a new grandbaby. I'm praying for a new grandbaby. My daughter says, Mom, stop praying for me. I don't want to have no more kids, and that was it. And I'm like, she says, pray for my brother so that they can get married and have kids. I'm like, no. So I'm like with puppies and babies. I go gaga Google with all over them. I love it. I love new puppies and babies. It's fun.
Yes,
it's so much fun.
So sweet.
And
yes,
they know it too. Yeah, I spoke with a cousin of mine, and he had one of his kids' puppies. The dog knew that I love dogs. It just went gaga over me, just licking me and wanting to play. I was like, oh, I wish I could have a, you know, a pet, at least a pet. You know, I'm content with that right now, but for now I can't. But I would love a grandchild right now. That's so wonderful. There's just God bless you. Have fun. Have fun with your grandbaby. Let me pray for you and your family. So thank you, Father, for Janet and her family, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving them that home, Lord. And I pray that, Father God, that home be full of your presence, Father God, that they learn to seek your face above everything, Father God. I pray, Father God, that you give them strategies and that you bring much love in that home, Father, in the name of Jesus, peace and joy, that they will learn to love each other and to understand each other, Father God. Let that child grow strong and full of your spirit and give them that peace in that home and that shalom in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh, that's wonderful. All right,
thank
Janice,
you.
Is there anything else you'd like prayer for?
Just my future. It's debatable what's happening right now. I had a leg injury and it was repaired, but I haven't gone back to work. And just prayer. I don't have the answers. I'm not getting any answers right now. So I feel vulnerable. That's it in a nutshell. I feel vulnerable.
Well, you know what? When we're going through those, like I was saying before, when we go through those dark times, you know, that's when we keep even closer to the shepherd. You know, when the shepherd is on the mountain with his sheep, and, you know, you go through valleys, and in the valley it's a little darker, and it's a little scarier, but the sheep stay close to their shepherd so that they don't lose sight of him while they're going through that dark area, that dark patch. It's going through the valley. It's not staying in the valley. So you're not going to be staying in the valley. But at this time, spend time with your lover, the lover of your soul, and then it'll go much better for you. You're going to see, and your healing process will go better too, because as your mind is, your body also follows. If we get when we break bone, sometimes the tendency is for people to get blood goes seems, if it's totally broken, his blood seems to go into the system and cause depression. And even just the fact of being not movable and things like that, like we used to, kind of affects our emotions. And so spending time with the Lord, praying in tongues, it does something to your endorphins, and it helps lift up your mood. And so don't overdo it. If they're telling you to rest, allow that time to rest. But you can spend time with the Lord, and you'll be amazed, you know, what being in God's presence will do for you. It just, like, it's it uplifts. It's an overhaul. It just does wonders. But we have to spend time there. There's people that have gone through really ugly situations, really dark times. And when, as they get closer to God in those dark times, it's just them and God alone. And in that time, it's just beautiful because God just lifts them up. Whatever they need, God supplies. God gives them, you know. And
thank
so
you.
Just look at that analogy of Psalms 23 where you're, you know, whatever your enemy is, whether it's the bad health, whatever it is, financial, you put it in there, you'll see that God is with you. He'll protect you from those enemies, whatever
those
enemies are. Amen. So we thank you, Father God, for Janice, Father God, for her health, Father God. That I pray for sweet moments with you, Lord, alone in your presence, worshiping you, Lord. And as she's sensing your presence and your love, that presence and love will touch her, Father God, and bring the healing that she needs. I pray for rapid recovery in the name of Jesus, so fast that her healing, that her muscles, her bones heal so quick, Father God. I pray, Father God, that you also give her wisdom to not overdo anything that will jeopardize her healing process either, Father God. And I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for that healing touch right now. Thank you, Lord, for her body, soul, and spirit. Father God, for her emotions, for her body, anything that she needs, Father God, we just pray that you give it to her right now and just touch her, Father God, and that give her hope for the future, that good things are coming her way. That
yes,
good
Lord.
Things are coming her way. And so we thank you, Father God. Thank you for that, because you don't leave us or forsake us, and we just push in your presence. We push through in your presence. The other day, Prophet Randy was prophesying over me some weeks ago, and he was saying something about, you know, how Mary Magdalene went before the Lord praying, and worshiping him, and, you know, and that he saw me something to that effect. You know, I'm not quoting him exactly, but days later, I was listening to the radio, and a song came on in Spanish, and it was that very song, like if it was like Mary Magdalene, you know, just laying before the Lord and just worshiping him. And I started singing it after I was singing it, and I felt his presence. Then I realized, oh, my God, that's what Prophet Randy had been, you know, prophesying over me, because I was like, what is that all about, you know? Sometimes the word sounds so different. And it was God's presence, me spending time before God's feet. Just by listening to that song, it was just like he was wooing me towards him. And I was like, oh, this is exactly what I needed. I was refreshed. My emotions were refreshed. And, oh, my goodness, that's exactly what I needed. I just laid there in bed in God's presence. I was so touch that I even sent a song to everybody that I knew that knew Spanish that could enjoy it, and I was like, wow, this is just a wonderful song. It's beautiful. And so it was exactly the description that he was giving in that prophecy. So I just pray that God will give you a moment like that, so
thank
that you can sense his presence and be filled and touched in a special way and refreshed. In Jesus' name. Thank you,
Thank
Lord.
You.
Amen. You're welcome. All right. Anything else you'd like to say?
No, I'm just thankful. I just happened to see this pop up on my phone and that you were still available, and I'm thankful I called, and thank you for the prayer.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. God bless you, and you have a wonderful week, and enjoy your family with that new home and the baby. All right.
You have a good
God
week
bless.
To you.
Bye-bye. All right. 402-214, your name and where you're from?
Hi, Carmen. It's Sharon in New York. Hi,
ooh,
honey.
Hi, Sharon. Hi. All right.
How are you?
Good, good. Let me put you on mute, and then I'll be right back. All righty. Thank you, Lord, for sharing, Father God. Mira vos yo todo bocoririanda la bacara vos yo todo vikishitanda la macai. Thank you, Jesus. Mira vos yo todo bocoririanda la macara vos yo andare de coririata la bacai. Mira vos yo todo vikishitanda la coririata la vos yo andare de macai.
You're right where you belong, Sharon. Sometimes we think that things have to be different, and sometimes God will allow situations in our lives to try to get our attention. You're right where he wants you. And because he wants you right there, he's trying to woo you close to him more and more each day. I just see you almost like, well, what am I supposed to do? What you're supposed to do is spend time with him. He's waiting. He's waiting to see what you do. He's just waiting for you to call on his name and to see what he has in store for you. And what he has in store for you is him. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. And when you're in his presence, everything will fade away. Nothing will matter. Nothing else matters. I don't care what it is. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. And when you're in that presence, you'll realize that he is what matters. He is what matters. You know what? I see you. I don't know how you call those things that you put on horses on their face, on the sides of their face where they can't look to the left or to the right. They could only look forward. I see you having those on. And so you're not going to be able to see to the left or to the right. You're just going to see forward before you, where God is, you know, where God is. And so it's for you to focus. That's what I sense that it is, for you to focus, 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 focus on the Lord. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Hi, Sharon. How are you, dear?
Hi, honey. Well, that was good to know that I'm where I'm supposed to be. You know, of course,
yes.
I want God's will. Those are called blinders, you know, like what you were seeing on the horse.
Yes.
Like having blinders on.
Yes.
It's funny.
Yes.
You know, because I
go for it.
It's funny you use that analogy because I rode horses and I know a lot about them. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Never put those on my horse, though.
I'm more of a gardener, not a horse rider.
Yeah.
I need to try.
It was in the past, not now.
Oh, okay. Oh, so the analogy worked. You understood it. That's why the Lord used it.
You're right.
You understand.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So
how have you been?
But so that's what he's going to do, or that's what he's been doing?
He's going to do. And so don't think it's strange that everything, just go with it. He wants to be alone with you. He wants you to spend time with him, and everything else will fade away. Everything else. But, you know, we have to participate, too, in it. When we do that, I mean, God is not going to make you do anything that you don't want to do. Right?
Oh, I know. Frustrating. I wish he would. Sometimes
yes,
I wish he would.
We're not robots. He doesn't want robots.
Make, I know.
He wants. He gives us free
will.
It would
be easier. It would be easier, wouldn't it?
Well, it would be, but it wouldn't be coming from the heart. And that's what he wants.
Right.
He wants your heart.
Yeah.
He wants free will coming to him. Amen?
Yeah. Well, I thank God for the gift of faith. Even when so much trial, you know, I still believe in miracles. So, and
amen.
I'm grateful for everything.
You know, sometimes the best time that I've had with the Lord is those moments. Everything else doesn't make any difference. He's the one that makes the difference.
I'd like to pray.
Yeah,
I'd like you to pray, Carmen.
Sure.
I'd like you to pray for a really blessed Holy Week for my family and myself. It starts tomorrow.
Thank you, Lord, for Sharon and her family, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that as the week starts, it's already started, Lord. And as the day starts, Father God, the week starts, that you bless them, that you help them to get started on the right foot this week. Bless them. Bless them in seeking you more and more each day, putting you first above all things. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right.
Okay.
Sharon,
well, thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome.
I love
hearing you every week. Yeah, that's what we're here for. I hope you have a blessed week. And if you listen to the show again, I pray for everybody a blessing. When the show is done, you can listen to it and hear that prayer for yourself. Okay?
All right. Thank you.
All right. God bless.
Good night. God bless you too.
All right. Bye bye. 908305, your name and where you're from. 908305. Yoo-hoo, unmute yourself. I can't hear you. 908305. All right. They're not answering, so I'll pray for them. I see a person like writing with a, you know, one of those bird feather pens, like they're writing. I sense that you're journaling, that the Lord wants you to journal and spend time with the Lord in your journal. As you write, you're going to see some things, you know, it's actually going to be good for you. You're going to see on paper what's in your heart, the things that you're telling the Lord. And so it's a way for you to spend time with the Lord as you journal. You talk to him as you write. And as you spend time in his word, he's going to start speaking to you and showing you things that are going to make sense to you. But I do see you writing. I don't know if you're already doing that, but God is going to take you higher as you do that. It's going to bring you higher. Sort of that, like that pen that's like a bird's feather, like when there's a bird, the bird goes higher and higher. Well, I believe that as you're writing and speaking to the Lord, journaling, you're going to go higher and higher. There's something about that, about you journaling, that's going to be a blessing to you. So we thank you for that in the name of Jesus for this person, for 908305. Bless them in Jesus' name. All right. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So, there's other people on the line, but they haven't raised their hand by dialing 1 in the queue. That'll place you in the queue. I'll wait for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. All right. I guess they want to listen. Nobody's raising their hands. Okay. Well, God bless you then. If there's nobody that wants to be ministered to tonight, I'll finish the show. Let's see. Wait. I saw somebody. Okay. I got that one. All right. If there's nobody else on the line, I'm going to finish the show. I pray that the Lord bless you and keep you, and may his face shine upon you and give you peace. Have a wonderful week and stay connected to the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night.